This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. The power of the crowd is being used to fund new businesses, solve scientific problems, and build better products. So why not harness that power to help diagnose illnesses? Jared Heyman was inspired to start CrowdMed and do just that after his sister spent 3 years with a rare undiagnosed illness. To utilize the service, a patient with an undiagnosed medical condition posts his or her case on CrowdMed's site and allows its community of medical detectives to weigh in on the most likely diagnosis. CrowdMed founder and CEO Jared Heyman and Dr. Greg Denari, a retired primary care physician and a CrowdMed medical advisor, explain the company's unique approach to diagnosing illnesses. We won't be able to take calls during this segment, but you can still join the conversation by emailing talk@wvxu.org or finding us on Facebook or Twitter. And Jared and Greg, thank you both for joining me this afternoon.
Glad to join you. It's my pleasure. Glad to be here.
Jared, you decided to start CrowdMed because of your sister's bout with a hard-to-diagnose illness. Tell us about that.
Well, my sister spent 3 years with a really difficult, undiagnosed medical condition, and her symptoms were awful. She gained about 50 pounds worth of weight. She had severe depression, anxiety. She would sleep 14 hours a night, very lethargic during the day. And it came on all of a sudden, and she was 18 years old at the time, and it was baffling to her physicians because she'd always been a very healthy, happy child. And then all of a sudden, without any apparent cause, she started coming down with these severe and unexpected symptoms. And of course, our parents were very concerned and started taking her from doctor to doctor, trying to figure out what was going on. And over the next three-year period, she saw over a dozen different doctors, and our family and our insurance company racked up over $100,000 in medical expenses. It was awful, and nobody could figure out what was wrong. And I saw her go through the struggle, of course, and of course it was a terrible experience for the whole family. And I saw how each doctor was kind of working in isolation and just, you know, seeing her symptoms through their own lens. There was no communication or coordination amongst the different medical specialists. And she would get these narrow diagnoses saying, well, you know, you have depression, and here's some anti-anxiety meds for that, or antidepressants for that. We have anxiety, here's some anti-anxiety meds. Or, you know, she had a hormonal fluctuation, so they put her on a birth control pill, for example. But it seemed that no one was taking a holistic view of what was going on, and our system just seemed very ill-equipped to help patients with hard-to-solve or what turned out to be a rare disease like my sister had. And I wanted to do something about it by harnessing crowd wisdom. I knew that crowds could be much wiser than individual experts if there's the right mechanism in place to aggregate their collective intelligence. Because at my previous company, I'd been studying this, and I'd built a crowdsourcing product. So I wanted to, for the really the first time ever, build a mechanism for harnessing crowd wisdom, specifically to help solve tough medical cases like my sister's.
So your sister went through this process and finally got a diagnosis, didn't she?
She eventually did. It wasn't until my mom got her into the NIH Clinical Center in Bethesda, Maryland, where she was seen by this top-notch interdisciplinary team of physicians. And I think the fact that they were interdisciplinary and the fact that it was a team were very important, because really that was the first time that through the medical system she got to experience anything that looks like crowd wisdom. And my sister was very fortunate to be seen by this team. And after they saw her, they came up with her correct diagnosis, which turned out to be a rare disease that affects just 1 in 15,000 women. And as terrible as her symptoms were, the treatment was actually very simple and very effective. They put her on a hormone replacement therapy, putting an estrogen patch on her hip. And within about 3 weeks of getting this estrogen, her symptoms were completely resolved and she was back to normal.
So she's doing better these days, then. That's great to hear. Greg,
she's doing fine.
Good. Greg, what exactly, how do you define a medical detective? People have seen the TV show House. Is this anything like that?
In a way, it is. A medical detective can be anybody who has knowledge that could contribute to solving difficult medical problems. That's, I think, part of the theory behind crowdsourcing is that one or two or three people, just like Jared said, may not have the answer, and, you know, they don't work together. But if you open it up to anybody who has the knowledge, then they can help. So I think about 60% of the detectives are in the medical field, and the other 40%, you know, are not. But they have experience or knowledge or are researchers or have experience with unusual illnesses or just have an interest in the topic. So it's a wide range of people who become medical detectives.
So, Greg, as part of the power that you have people who aren't doctors, you're getting an outsider's view, so to speak?
Yes, and that's kind of the theory, and that's kind of what I like to see. And I've seen some people who are non-MDs, rise to, there's a ranking that goes on, who rise to fairly high rankings and have very good suggestions and comments and contributions to the site.
So it can be a
problem.
It can be a doctor, it can be a researcher, it can be somebody who might have the disease themselves and know something about it, right?
Yes.
Jared, who's the typical patient for CrowdMed?
Well, one thing all of our patients have in common is that they've struggled in the traditional medical system, and they still remain undiagnosed. So our average patient has been sick for 8 years. They've seen 8 doctors already, and they've already incurred, or they and their payer has already incurred over $50,000 in medical expenses by the time they submit their case. So these are not colds and flus. These are very difficult, chronic, unsolved medical mysteries. In terms of what they end up actually having, it's a very wide distribution. No single diagnosis is more than 2% of our total. And most of our diagnoses we've only seen come up once or twice in the entire history of the site. So these are uncommon medical conditions that have baffled many doctors. And we're very proud of the fact that our success rate right now is between 60 and 70%, which means that between 60 and 70% of our patients tell us that our crowdsourcing approach provide them with some insight that led them closer to either a correct diagnosis or cure, when an average of 8 individual physicians could not.
Greg, what attracted you to go into the medical detective field?
Yeah, I was recently retired, and to be honest with you, I missed the helping patients. That's what I became a doctor for. I was looking for some place where I could share my knowledge and experience and judgment. But I really wasn't looking to get back in practice, because one thing I also noticed when I retired is a lot of pressure that kind of comes with being that responsibility, you know, to a patient, and you're constantly kind of thinking, could I have done something different, or should I do something more? So this is really a different. These are all suggestions that come from the medical detectives, and it's really the patient's physician who hopefully takes this information and then decides what. And it's sort of the wisdom of the crowd suggesting, consider this, this, and this, which I really like. So it's a place where I can do these suggestions, use my knowledge without being in direct patient care. And I really missed that when I retired. It was almost like I was wondering, where can I find something like that? And I happened to be reading an article in a newspaper, and I said, boy, this sounds interesting. And so I actually wrote to Jared email, and he emailed me back, and we started going back and forth about what might be helpful for the site. And then I became first a detective and then an advisor.
We're talking with CrowdMed founder and CEO Jared Heyman and Dr. Greg Gennari, who's a retired primary care physician and a CrowdMed medical advisor. We can't take phone calls during this segment, but you can still join the conversation by emailing us at talk@wvxu.org or by finding us on Facebook or Twitter. Jared, step me through how this works. This all starts first with the patient submitting their information, and then where do things go from there?
Well, from the patient perspective, the first step is to fill out our in-depth patient questionnaire. We spent a lot of time and effort developing a questionnaire that asks all the questions we need to ask to collect the clues that our medical detectives might need to solve their case. We ask about things like their symptoms, their medical history, any medications they're taking, the progression of their illness. It's a very in-depth questionnaire where we really try to collect as many details as we can from the patient about their condition. Patients can also upload diagnostic test results, imaging test results, even their entire medical records if they so choose. So, again, we're trying to collect as much information as possible, because you never know what that clue will be that one of our medical detectives can hone in on to provide that insight that the patient needs. Once we've collected all this data, then the case instantly goes live on our site. And a typical case duration is between 30 and 90 days. The average is about 60 days that the case is live. And during that period, everything that the patient gave us is visible to our entire medical detective community. So we have over 10,000 registered medical detectives. We have about 2,000 who have logged in the last 90 days. And, of course, not all of them participate in every case. The average patient has about 16 medical detectives participating in their case, but is visible to everyone. And the detectives can choose the cases that they think that they are in the best position to help solve. And the way our incentive structure works, detectives have no incentive to participate in the case unless they actually think they can solve it. There's no reward for participation. All of our rewards are based purely upon performance. So detectives really choose only those cases that they think that they might have some unique insights to share. During the 60-day case duration, the medical detectives can ask questions to the patient via our chat feature. And the patient, of course, responds to those questions. They can add additional information to their case. They can upload additional files. And all of this chat correspondence is visible in real time to everyone on the site. So we believe in complete transparency, where everything that happens on our site is visible in real time to every user. Nothing happens behind closed doors. Also, we have the ability for detectives to suggest diagnoses and solutions throughout the case duration, and the patient can watch those suggestions as they come in. They can also watch a kind of debate that happens amongst the medical detectives around why they think a certain diagnosis might be correct or incorrect, or a certain solution idea might be good or bad. And we really encourage debate and discourse and coordination and collaboration, things that you really don't see in the medical system, especially if you're a patient just seeing kind of one doctor at a time and getting his or her sole opinion, in isolation. So NARSITE is very much a debate environment where people from different backgrounds and different perspectives can talk about the merits of different ideas. At the end of the case, once the case closes, again, usually after about 60 days on average, the patient gets a nice PDF format report that summarizes the findings. And we say, here are all the suggestions that you had for potential diagnoses and solutions. Here are the top suggestions, the top one or two or three, according to the consensus of our medical detectives. And we measure that consensus based on their point betting behavior. They can bet points on what they believe to be the best answers, or allocate points, I should say, to what they believe to be the best answers. And the patient really has something to take to their doctor and say, hey, doc, I've been sick for all these years and haven't figured it out, but this crowd of people thinks that it might be one of these two or three things. Can we explore these in more detail? And very often, again, about 60 or 70% of the time, there's some insight on there that actually brings the patient closer to either a correct diagnosis or cure.
Jared, you're talking about one of the aspects that you use in this process, that it's there's a somewhat of a stock market-like system where those diagnosing the diseases are, they're in a sense, they're placing bets on which diagnosis is best. Does that seem somewhat risky when you're dealing with people's health and lives?
Well, it's a question I'm asked often, because we do have this kind of point betting or point allocating system. But we make very clear that our detectives aren't betting on people's health. This is just a mechanism we use to measure how much confidence the medical detectives have in certain answers. And the way it works is, if you're a medical detective, if you allocate points to a particular answer and that answer turns out to be right, then you can win points back. And sometimes even win cash. You don't bet cash, of course, but if a patient offers a cash reward, then along with winning points in that case, you can also win a portion of that cash reward. But it's just a mechanism we use to measure their confidence. So the more confidence a medical detective has in a certain answer, the more points they'll allocate to it. And it gets them to kind of truthfully divulge exactly, how confident they are in a certain answer. And it's our way of kind of filtering out the good answers from the bad. But, we're a very serious site, and we certainly don't like to think of it in terms of betting on people's health.
Greg, how safe are a person's medical records if they upload them to the site?
The site, maybe I shared about this too, but the site is very open. Everything they upload is public, basically. So it's not confidential, which is, so they have to take that into consideration, that this is not confidential. Everybody has an anonymous name. The medical detectives are anonymous, and the patients are anonymous. And it turns out patients are fairly comfortable with that. But that's also kind of one of the strengths. And they have to be, they're asked not to, you know, on the records they upload to redact anything referring to their names, so that they can't really be identified. So that's that. I want to make a comment about what Jerry was talking about, the bedding. So
yes.
I feel very comfortable about that. Actually, I look on it, it's not so much bedding, exactly how much confidence in. So you don't, as kind of with the doctor, you're under pressure to come up with that one diagnosis. Here, you combine your wisdom and your judgment with all the other detectives. And it's sort of like, well, I really think it's this. So let's say it's 1,000 points you're going to bet. So I'll bet 850 on that. But it could be this, less, much less likely, so 100. And this could be possible, but I really think it's unlikely, so I'll bet 50. And then Jared takes all that information with his predicting modeling and then comes up with a ranking, really, of the diagnoses, the top ones, and the patients are, you know, all suggestions and to look at. And but that's sort of the wisdom of the crowd comes out at the end of the report. So I may think something very strongly is a diagnosis, but someone else may think something else is, and you throw all that together. The other thing I think is very important to say is the detectives are ranked. So the detectives with higher ranking have more influence on the site. They also, I think, the patients look at that. And how they get the rankings? The rankings come from a history of being right in the past or getting correct answers, plus also ratings from the anonymous, very anonymous, you don't know who's giving the rating, from the other detectives and the patients. So I think it's a very valid a way that patients can say, well, who's really giving me better information, maybe? And but, you know, the good suggestions can come from anybody, and then there's debate that goes on the site, you know, kind of, and then people can vote with how they want to vote, a vote, I call it, or bet, or, you know, just sort of like in medicine, you know, it's probably this diagnosis, possibly this, rule out that. And so it's really the same thing, but instead of just being one person, it's the whole crowd throwing all that knowledge and then Jared, you know, processing that and coming up with a crowd decision.
Jared, where do the patients and medical detectives live?
We've seen about 80 to 85% of both of our patients and medical detectives are in North America. So at the patient group, about 15% are international. If you only look at the U.S., about 3/4 of our medical detectives are in the U.S. and the rest are international, although there's a good chunk in Canada. It's a mostly domestic-based audience, but with a good, you know, a strong international minority. And, you know, we think the CrowdMed actually has a lot of potential to expand internationally over time. One advantage we can bring to patients is they can hear from medical experts not only in the U.S., but anywhere in the world. And you really never know where that insight will come from that actually leads that patient closer to a correct diagnosis or cure.
We're talking with CrowdMed founder and CEO Jared Heyman and Dr. Greg Denari, a retired primary care physician and a CrowdMed medical advisor. We can't take phone calls during this segment, but if you'd like to ask a question, you can email it to us at talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Elizabeth sent us a question. She has had chronic fatigue over 30 years. So do you have any suggestions for her? And is she a good candidate for CrowdMed?
We certainly can't talk about her case details on the air. We won't go into any medical advice for her. But I do think that it's potentially a good fit for our site. We do see a lot of cases where there are issues with chronic fatigue. Sometimes chronic fatigue syndrome is the diagnosis, but it doesn't really get to the root cause of what's going on. As I mentioned before, no single diagnosis is more than 2% of our total. So that's just one of many types of cases we see. People with chronic unsolved medical mysteries are exactly the ones who we want to help.
Jared, how well does this work? I think you said 60 to 70% success rate. What are some of the successful cases that you've seen?
We've seen a lot. So we've had over 600 cases that have been resolved on the site since we launched it in April of 2013, so going on almost 2 years now. And, you know, as I mentioned before, these are an average of these patients have been very sick for a very long time. They've seen a lot of doctors. Nobody could figure it out. Every week we get emails or letters from patients who we either saved their life or we solved a medical mystery that they've been struggling for years and really improved the quality of their life dramatically. So we have dozens, at this point, hundreds of success stories. I'd be glad to walk you through one or two if you're curious.
Oh, yes. Yes. What are some of the examples of the cases you've been able to diagnose?
Sure. So let's see. Let's talk about one I'm particularly proud of, which is a 17-year-old boy. So I actually gave a TED Talk earlier this year about this, or I should say last year, about this particular case. So it was a 17-year-old boy in California. And he came down with these really strange symptoms at the age of 12. Maybe the reason I like this case so much is it kind of reminds me of my sister's case, where it was a child who was always very healthy, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, came down with a whole constellation of sudden and unexplained symptoms. In his case, his mother wrote on his case, and I quote, "My son feels like an old man. He suffers from constant debilitating fatigue, painful body aches. He feels like he's dying." And those were his mother's words. So a very sad situation. And
yeah, especially for someone so young. Exactly.
From 12 to 17, his youth was really taken away from him because of this illness. And his mother went on in the case that he had seen 14 different doctors. Nobody could figure it out. They'd incurred over $75,000 in medical expenses and were really desperate to find an answer. So in this case, his mother read about CrowdMed in a newspaper article, submitted his case for free on our site. I haven't gone into our packages yet, but we do have a free package in addition to several paid packages. In this case, it was a free case submission. And over the next 2 months, there were 40 medical detectives from around the world who volunteered to collaborate on his case. No cash compensation for them whatsoever. They strictly did this because they really wanted to help this boy and help try to solve his medical mystery. And they came up with a series of diagnostic suggestions. One of the top suggestions turned out to be a rare disease that his doctors had actually considered but ruled out prematurely for certain reasons. But the medical detectives, you know, said, you know what, this has been ruled out prematurely. We really feel strongly that he should be retested for this because it seems to be an excellent fit for his symptoms and everything that his mother was telling them. So his mother took this to their doctor. They retested for this disease. It turned out to be positive. So it confirmed that diagnosis, which then led to his successful treatment. And he's now feeling better than he has in years. And his mother credits CrowdMed with leading to his cure.
Jared, do you have any concerns about this interfering with the traditional doctor-patient relationship in any way?
We view it as an adjunct. So we're not replacing a doctor. And we make very clear in the site that CrowdMed does not provide definitive diagnoses. We do not provide definitive treatment plans. Only the patient's doctor can confirm the diagnosis and prescribe the appropriate treatment, which is exactly what happened in the case study I just told you about. So our job is to provide a short list of the most probable diagnostic or solution suggestions for the patient to discuss with their doctor. So the doctor needs to be a part of this, and we really view CrowdMed as something that works hand-in-hand with the patient's physician.
Greg, do you think that this method of diagnosing illness by crowdsourcing is going to become more and more common in the future? And Jared, you can weigh in as well on that.
I certainly think so. I think there's lots of advantages to the way it is. Basic things of the crowdsourcing, the ability to bet various points, and then coming up with this crowd solution. I mean, some of this sort of goes on in medicine anyways. It's about the multidisciplinary meetings, but I think CrowdMed is actually a more sophisticated way to come to that conclusion, and because it goes outside traditional specialists, that it can more likely come up maybe with a solution, something a little bit out of the box kind of solution. And so, yes, I certainly see it has a lot of potential.
And we're
I do think, from the doctor's perspective, you know, I had a lot of patients who were retired to bring in something from the Internet, and they just kind of 60% or 70% of patients go out and look at the Internet trying to see what it is, and there's all sorts of stuff out there, you know, good and bad, and people trying to sell something. CrowdMed's very different. It is specific to the patient, and it's, you know, kind of thoughts from people who have, as a crowd, some knowledge and experience. So it's a little bit different, and I hope doctors, if I got this kind of thing from CrowdMed, I'd certainly look at it when I was back practicing. And the time goes on, it gets, you know,
hate to interrupt, but we've come to the end here, and thank you so much for joining me this afternoon. Really appreciate it. CrowdMed founder and CEO Jared Heyman and Dr. Greg Denari, a CrowdMed medical advisor. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Stay tuned for Here and Now, coming up next on 91.7.